The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air.
Nau mai, haere mai, whakatau mai rā, e kōnei pūrangi tēnei, e pāna ki te ao Māori, me te ao hurihuri. I'm Leonie Hayden. This is a podcast about being Māori in the modern world. Welcome to Nair. Ngai iwi katoa, nei rā te mahi ki a koutou, nau mai, hoki mai anō. On this week's episode, we're talking about moana, our seas and our oceans. Now, you might be curious to know why, when there's so much news going on in the world, or even in this country, why we're doing an episode about something so vast. Well, while the ocean may be deep and wide, our relationship as Māori to it is actually quite personal. We trace our whakapapa to Rangi Nui, our Sky Father, Papatuanuku, the land, and Wainui Atia, the waters, or you might also know her as Hine Moana. And they're not resources to us in the extractive sense, and they're certainly not borders, although they've been turned into both of those things by imperialism. And so we find ourselves at climate conferences like COP26 in Glasgow, which is still ongoing this week, where our leaders are negotiating how not to kill the moana and her peoples. Like, guess who could have shown you how not to do that? Māori people, Indigenous people, everywhere. And I urge you to find the podcast Planet B on Navarra Media. It's a relatively new climate podcast from the UK, but their latest episode features Tina Ngata, Nō Ngāti Porou. She's an incredible community leader down there. And she's talking about exactly that, how imperialism and colonialism have screwed the planet, that there is no solution until we reckon with that, and how our relational worldviews as Indigenous people can literally save the planet. But Erin else got to listen to us for a change. She's totally mind-blowing, so smart, so, you know, go have a listen, put her in charge of all the things. Our relationship to te taiao, to our natural world, Rangi Nui, Papatuanuku, all of our atua, these are things that we need to draw strength from now more than ever, even if it's just to take time for ourselves, to be near water, or find ways to feed our families, or tautoko our neighbours, whatever your relationship to water is. I wrote an essay earlier this year about becoming a swimmer for the first time and discovering this new form of physical exercise that really resonates with my wairua as well. But it stemmed from this lifelong obsession with being in water, with swimming in the sea and jumping in the awa. And writing that, I began reading more about Wainui Atia, or Hine Moana, who is the embodiment of the sea, and she's the parent of so many of our kaimoana. And I really did feel like I had discovered the name of someone I had known my whole life but never been properly introduced to, and not really having any access to knowledge holders around our oceanic atua. I only really knew about Tangaroa and Kiwa. Our ocean that connects all of our people is Moana Nui a Kiwa, and the colonisers call her the Pacific Ocean. And Hine Moana is talked about as Kiwa's wife and also as Rangi Nui's first wife, and so she's in competition with Papatuanuku. She erodes Papatuanuku's shores. And I have to say, I balk a little bit when anyone is only talked about as someone else's wife in real life and in our pūrākau. And I know that there's more to her than that, and I really hope to meet a knowledge holder who can tell me more. If you're out there, please get in touch. But she really does call to us, and it is built into us in like an evolutionary sense. We all have something called the mammalian diving response, which is a physiological response that turns on when our head is submerged in cold water and our heart rate slows right down. And this is why splashing your face with cold water calms you down. And a few years back when I was, you know, having a tough time, and my first instinct was to sort of get in a cold shower. And I know a lot of us have nannies that would make us get under the cold tap if we were a bit hoha. And it sort of occurred to me that we had these little shrines in our houses, these places for ritual that connect us with water, with wai Māori. And like, yeah, sure, they're for hygiene, but if we're honest, we've all felt cleansed by water in other ways. And I think maybe that's why I enjoyed onsen culture when I visited Japan. It was about the ritual. It was such a meaningful way to spend time with yourself. You know, I watched people spend a full half hour just washing their hair or just washing their feet. And so that's my not very original take, is that water is cleansing and calming and spiritual, and it's for the individual and for the collective. But it's nice to take time to think deeply about the things we take for granted, especially as it gets warmer. I mean, the weather, and also as the climate gets warmer. And we're also heading to the coast more in the summer, and diving season is about to open up. So while we are spending time taking from Hine Moa and Tangaroa, let us be mindful of what we're giving back to. So on that, Te Kuru will be talking with today's manuhiri about the tikanga of that relationship, and also about an ancient activity invented by our moana nui a kiwa tupuna hundreds of years ago, as well as all the other ways that we use water. And then I'll be joined by Miriana and Te Kuru to yarn about our own connections to the water. We'll be right back after this.
Tēnā koutou e whakarongo atu ana kua tau mai te uri a tā manuhiri, au e pōhatu a porau, he tama o te tai rāwhiti, he toa eke ngaru, koia te heamana o te kohanga reo, e whakapau kaha nei ki te poipoi, i tērā tino kaupapa o tātou, hei oranga, mō ngā tamariki e reake ana, he pāpa, he hoatāne, he tangata ngā kaunui ki ngā tikanga ki te reo, Rāniera Proctor, Chief, nau mai, kei te aha.
Tēnā koe hika o tira. Te iwi e whakarongo mai ana, noku te maringa nui. E hara au i e rā mea, engari ko au e rā taitara, engari he tangata horoe uta-uta, he tangata whakapai papa, kamutu he pononga o waku iwi maha, o te tai rāwhiti, he hua o te whakaaro nui o ku mātua, kia uru ki te kohanga, ki te kura kaupapa, kamutu, kia whai wāhi atu au ki tēnei taonga tāua ko te eke ngaru. E ora ai au i tēnei ao, a hine ngaro, a wairua, a tīnana, i a Tangaroa, i o tāua atua. Nā, kia ora hika.
Nā, kei te kōrero tāua mō te moana, mō te eke ngaru, he tangata moana koe, he tangata eke ngaru hiahai pērā ai.
O, ka hoki ki tuatahi ake, he iwi moana tātou, he iwi moana, he iwi mōhio ake nei ki te pānui i te taiao, mutunga ke mai o te toki, ki te kau moana, ki te pānui ngā ahuatanga o te huarere, o te taiao, anō nei he ika i te moana. O tāua tīpuna, me taku whakaaro ika, tērā pē i ahu mai tērā i o tāua tīpuna, engari ka whakaaro ake, tērā pē he pānga a toto nei, nā, ka ruku ki ngā wānanga, ka kite a, he uri hoki tātou nā Tangaroa, i roto i ngā whakapapa heke mai tātou i a Pautū, nā Pautū ko rua te pupuke, nā rua te pupuke ko manuruhi, nā manuruhi ko rua te pukenga, ka heke te tātai ira tangata i a Tangaroa. Tō mua mai i a Pautū, ko Ika Tere, ko ira te tipuna o ngā Ika Maha, nō muri mai ko Tūterangi Wehi Wehi, ko ira te tipuna o ngā momo, kā kuhu ki te wai, kā puta hoki te wai, ngā amphibians, nō reira ko tātou, te ira tangata ngā teina i roto i tērā tātai whakapapa. Engari, e whakapono anau, kei reira hoki etahi momo kurahuna i roto i tō tātou taurahere tātai whakapapa e kōhimuhimu ana ki a tātou me hoki ki te moana. Kei reira te oranga me kia whakamānawa i te taiao, kia noho whakaiti i roto i te nui o te taiao, kia tiaki hoki tātou i era taura here whakapapa i wāenga i a tātou te ira tangata me te taiao. No reira, tērā, me ngā, he nui ngā kōrero mo te iwi Māori me te ekengaru. Kua riro pea etahi i roto i ngā tau, nā te āhua o te tāmi, o ngā whakatuanui o te ao, whānui o te ao, Pākehā i a tātou ingare, kei reira tonu etahi, tērā tō tāua tipuna ko kahungunu, he toki ki te ekengaru, nāna te ringa o Rongomai Wahine i Wikitoria i tētahi whakataetae ekengaru, ka whakataetae a kahungunu rāua ko Tamatea Takutai, Tamatakutai te tāne Ōmua, tuatahi o Mātāmua o Rongomai Wahine, engari ka pīrangi ia ki te rākau rongo nui o tō tāua tipuna o kahungunu. Ka whakataetae eke ngaru rāua ki te o māwai te wahine nei. Me taku kite i roto i ngā rangahau mo te taenga atu o ngā mihi ngare ki konei, he pērā anō. He kauwhata rangatiratanga me ki te eke ngaru i ona wā, he tukanga e āhei ai te tangata, te piki, te heke rānei i te kauwhata rangatira. He pērā anō ngā kōrero i Hawaii, ka kia ko te Sport of Kings. Ko etahi wāhi, kua rāhuitia mo te hunga, mo te whare ariki. Ko ēnei ngaru, mo te whare ariki noa, ko ngā ngaru, ahua kore take nei, mā ngā ware, ngari anō ēnei ngaru. Me taku whakaaro, kei reira pea, tētahi taura here i wāenga i ngā iwi o Poronihia.
Me rangahau, me kimi anō pea, tāua i tērā huarahi ei e pai ai, tā tāua rāhui i tētahi wāhi ekengaru mā tāua.
Well, kia pono au, kia kōrero pāke hoki ai tēnei wahanga kia rongo ku whanaunga. Some of my friends here in Te Tairawhiti practice localism. Now, localism for them is, it's a break that they've surfed from time immemorial. For them, which is they've just moved here a year ago from Auckland, and now they're locals. And I often question them on their understanding of place and space. Etahi oku whanaunga Māori, he pērā anō, ka ki mai ki au, we shouldn't let outsiders surf our waves. We should practice some localism. Me taku ki, well, you're not actually from the tribe that's connected to this beach. You might be tangata whenua, but you don't have mana whenua. So in trying to practice tikanga, we're actually undermining our tikanga. I see the ocean as a marae. Ko te moana, te marae o Tangaroa, e hara i te wai noa, he rite te marae ki te whakatauri, te marae ki te moana, he tikanga tō te marae, he tikanga tō te moana, he kawa tōna, he kawa hoki tō te marae, no reira, i roto i te whakatauri, kei te kite atu au i etahi tino āputa pea, i roto i tō tātou mārama ki ngā tikanga tuatahi, o te marae me te iwi Māori, ka mutu te kawe i era tikanga ki te moana. Kia Māori anō te titiro ki te moana me ngā haepapa o te iwi kāenga, te mana whenua ki ona manuhiri, ki ana manuhiri kātahi, kamutu ki ana tikanga me tana kawe iaia i roto i tērā horopaki. You know, you wouldn't, when you think surfing, you don't think Māori. When I think surfing, I think from an outsider's point of view, firstly, I think of Kelly Slater, and then I think of Hawaii. Now, if you look at those two aspects, Kelly Slater being the epitome of capitalism in the surfing world and a great champion for the sport, but it's been the absolute, if there's been cultural appropriation in Polynesia, it's surfing. Yeah, you think of blonde hair, blue-eyed surfers. When you think of surfing, you wouldn't think of the rough, almost savage description of the first surfers that we're seeing in Hawaii. There's been a massive cultural appropriation, and then with that, our tikanga that we would have applied to practice surfing safely and in our way. So that's definitely a piece of work that needs to be explored further.
How whakaaro ki tērā te whaka whānui ake pia I te whakaaro Māori ki taua hononga, ki te moana I kōrero koe mo te kauaka he momo arawhata, te eke ngaru e rena kia I tērā taura here ki te moana, a wairua nei, a hinengaro nei.
Ko te take i tino a mimiti te puna eke ngaru I rato I a tātou ko te tahuri ki te whakapono. Nā te whakapono te eke ngaru i tāmi ai. Te tangata tuatahi, te mihingare tuatahi tai ki Hawaii, te taiwana mahi tuatahi ko te whakakore i ngā ahuatanga o te ahurea e tuhono ai te taua ahurea taketake nei ki ona atua. Nā, ko te eke ngaru tētahi, ko te hula tētahi, ko te lei, mau ngā lei tētahi, nā, ki te whakaaro ake au mena, ko te whakakore i te taurahere ki te atua, te take i mimiti ai, te marama ki te tikanga. Me hoki pea tuatahi ki te ruku anō ki o tāua atua, me te rangahau i ngā tikanga, I ngā kōrero, kamatu he waihanga tikanga hou. Etahi wā, kua roa te taurahere e tāwewe ana, te tāia te tīpono ano. Anō reira, me whakari te tikanga hou, mo te aohau, mo ngā tamariki o nāianei. Tētahi ngā ahuatanga kei te kite au, I roto I tō tāwewe Māori. Kaore I te mōhio ki te kaukau. Ia kēnei ngā tamariki Māori te tāia e rātau te kaukau. Ruarau, torurau tau ki muri, tō tāua tipuna ko paike, ka kia ko te toa o te moana. Nō reira, kua heke tātou mai te taumata o te toa o te moana ki te hunga, ka noho ki te mātaki pau ka whakāta noa. Nō reira, he mahara nui, engari, kei reira tonu te pito mata nui e whai hua ai tātou. Me taku hoki ki aku kōrero o mua, ko aua hua nui ko te taura here ki te ao wairua.
I a koe noho ana ki tō papa eke ngaru, hea hanga momo whakaaro, hea hanga momo rautaki rānei, ngā mahi kei te kawea e koe. Taku nei mōhio, he tangata pānui koe I te taia, ngā tēnā whakapuaki I tērā puna mātauranga.
Mo te taha ki te eke ngaru I taku hoki atu he kauwhata rangatiratanga te eke ngaru, no reira, ko ngā ngaru tō pai kōrero. No reira, ko te whāinga kia nui o ekenga, kia pai ai tō kōrero. Nō reira, he maha ngā rautaki e whai ngaru ai te tangata. Iawe tamariki ana koina noa te whāinga, engari, kia pake ke haere ake au, ka kite au i te koa o etahi atu, i te whai wāhi mai o etahi atu ki tēnei ahurea, ka koa hoki au, ka kite hoki au i te koa i etahi atu, ka pērā noa, no reira, ko tīmata hoki au te whakarite i te line-up o ngā kaieke kia kai te katoa. Mehemea ko te moana taku marae, me manaaki aku manuhiri, me tiaki hoki a rātau, me whai wāhi rātau ki ngā ngaru. Engari, etahi wā, he mōrearea tō te moana, he wāhi mōrearea. E kaua mō te katoa, engari, me whai pukenga, e eke ai te tangata ki etahi wāhi. Nō reira, he matāratanga i roto, he atu apai a tangaroa, engari, he ngau hoki ki te kore te tangata e whakamānawa i taua kaha, kei roto i a tangaroa. Nō reira, ko te noho matāra, me te whakaako i ngā matāratanga, i roto i te pānui, i te moana, kia noho haumaru ai te tangata i roto i te moana. Ai, koina. Me te kawe i te whakaiti, kawe i te whakaiti, te hari i te whakaiti, kua rongo au i te ngau a tangaroa i roto i taku kawe i au anō nei kua au te ariki o te moana. Nareira, he nui ngā akoranga, whakarotia te reanga taiohi o nāianei, kaori te tino whakaute ki te ao, ki o rāua, o rātau tīpuna, ki o rātau mātua. It's an automatic teacher. It's an immediate, there's immediate consequences in the ocean that stick with you lifelong, and they teach you things. It's a reset button. Mo te tangata, te moana, and in lots of different ways, it's taught me lots of things about how to carry myself. Not just as a surfer and as a tangata whenua, but also just about how to be a good person. Yeah, and so there's lots of learning, and it's never ending. Koina te pai o te eke ngaru. You can start at 5, and I know a surfer here that's 82. Irirare, that surfs every day, and so it's a lifelong sport. Yeah, it keeps us alive.
Those life lessons from the moana being applied on the whenua. Hoi anō, tēnei te mihi atu kia koe e hoa, tūana hei tauira i roto i au mahi, mo te kohanga reo, mo te kura kaupapa, me tēnei tō tāua ao Māori, te tai rāwhiti nei o tira i te motu whānui, noho ana hei kaitiaki i te marae o Tangaroa. E mihi atu ana kia koe i kura mahora i enei mātauranga tukuiho, me enei mōhio, kua whiakotia e koe, nā reira, e mihi atu ana kia koe te rangatira. E whai ake nei, e te iwi. After the break, I'll be joined by Leonie and Miriana to discuss our relationship with the moana.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Hoki mai anō, I am here with my podcast co-hosts, Te Kuru o Te Marama Jews and Miriana Johnson. We're going to have a little discussion about our own personal relationships with the water, with the way Māori, with moana. Kia ora kōrua.
Kia ora.
Morena, morena.
Morena, pēhe ana kōrua.
Pai ana, kei te ora au.
Ai, tino pai. Aha, kua te waipuke, te tai rāwhiti, kua tau anō te āio, kua māo te ua, kua māo ake te ua. Yeah, good, feeling good.
Have either of you been in the moana this week?
Oh, Carl.
Well, it's been real rough down here on the East Coast. They are big, you know, it's been flooding and the water's real paru at the moment.
Oh.
But managed to go for, a surf last week, or a couple surfs in the last couple of weeks. So it's warming up, so it's good.
I've been down to the moana. I quite like to go down to Island Bay, which, for those of you not in Pōneke, is directly opposite the South Island. And so I like to stand out there to mihi to home. But the water's way too cold to get into. No.
Yeah.
I barely even swim in summer in Wellington. Like, I'll probably get in a couple of times a year.
But it's really hot. It stays makariri down there, near.
Ai, tēnō makariri.
So we all come from like quite different parts of the motu, and you were just saying to Kuru about how it's a bit choppy down there, but I mean, of all of us, you guys on the East Coast are sort of like synonymous with your kaimoana and your being in and around the moana. Like, is that just sort of, do you grow up on a board and diving and, you know, being that person when you grow up down there?
I actually grew up in Rotorua.
Oh, true.
Yeah, which was, on the edge of the lake, though. So I grew up in the water, but we would always make time to go to Maketu and Ohope to surf, or try and surf, Pukehina, these areas in Te Arawa land. And also, yeah, coming down the coast, spend a bit of time in the moana as well. So a bit of a water baby, always had a relationship with the wai, whether it's fresh water or salt water. But, it's mean living back on the coast and living that lifestyle of being by the moana and sort of living by the tide and checking the tide, or trying to learn how to read it naturally so you kind of know what's always happening, trying to get back to that mātauranga, that aotipuna head, one wave at a time.
It's such a vast body of knowledge as well, eh? It's like you really got to live it to learn it.
Yeah, it's every time I go out, I'm always observing. The taiao. I've probably been doing it since I was a kid growing up, but, you know, naturally observing our taiao, like our tipuna would have done. But I think now it's much more intentional. There's a lot more kōrero around, you know, being, observing our taiao, maramataka kōrero.
Are you the guy that's going out there diving for craze in Pawa?
I will be that guy. I will be that guy.
Inspirational.
I'm doing a free diving course next week with Dion Opodi, Akuhata, who is Coasty Kids, and that's who I wrote the article. I interviewed him for this week's article. He is a pretty legendary free diver here on the coast, and he's sort of leading a movement of sustainable kaimoana gathering and prioritizing being safe in the water and just getting back to, diving without tanks and things like that, because as he says, you know, that's just feels more natural.
So are you learning to free dive without a tank?
Yeah, so he runs a course. I mean, I've done a bit of diving, but I'm not like a pro. There's always, and you know, if you want to go deeper, you got to upskill and learn, you know, what's safe and what's not safe. Someone like Dion, he dives up to 25 meters, which is pretty impressive, really.
Wow.
Like,
I think
that's probably a minority in Aotearoa who do that, but it's such a, you know, big part of our culture as Maori, and even, you know, as for anyone living in Aotearoa who are fortunate enough to do that. So I really want to explore, you know, get out of the rock pools and go a bit deeper and get some kai.
Okay, I'll stay in the rock pools, eh? That's where I'm comfortable. Yeah.
My favorite thing in like the whole world is just being in the low tide and gathering pipi and tuatua. I think that's like the most meditative activity on earth, maybe aside from swimming itself. But my boyfriend, who isn't Māori, has been perfectly trained that if we're out driving near the coast, if you see Māori in the bay with their pants rolled up, he doesn't even ask anymore. He just pulls over and I hop out. And I go ask if I can get some tea.
He knows.
Grab a couple.
He knows. And what, Mirianna, did you grow up on the water?
Yeah, I always grew up around the water. I'm also from the East Coast, the East Coast that no one thinks about, you know, East Coast of Te Waipo, Namu.
Oh.
Ngāti Porou, you know, you guys claim exclusive domain of the East Coast.
Yeah, we've got a copyright on that.
So the family farm is about 2 kilometres from Marfles Beach, which is just across the Cook Strait. So we would go swimming there, but it was mainly us just being like beaten around by the waves on our boogie boards. Wasn't really much swimming. It was pretty rough. As you can imagine, you know, straight out into the Cook Strait. But my whānau, we'd always go down to Kaikoura and get paua, kōura, mainly paua, the boys might go deeper and get colder. Because you could, before the earthquake, you could literally, you wouldn't even, you could go waist deep into the water off the rocks and just pick them off. It was that easy.
And then what happened after the earthquake?
Well, because the seabed lifted so much, basically just wiped out the entire adult population. So only now, about 4 or 5 years later, might have been 5 years, has the stock started to replenish. So it's actually been at Ahui all down the coast for the last few years since the earthquake. But yeah, just wiped out the entire population. So yeah, we haven't been down there to get poa for years now.
Gosh.
But yeah, it was a real, it was just something we did as a whānau. I never thought about it as mahinga kai, but obviously that's what it is. And I'm really grateful now that we, or that I had that in my whānau. You know, we were reaffirming our hononga to that place, but without really realizing that's what we were doing. Yeah, I wasn't. I never really got in the water, though. I was a bit of a princess. It was my aunties and my granny who were right in there, and my brothers as they got older. I just preferred to sit on the beach, read a book. So I always loved being around the moana, but yeah. I'm not much of a water baby. Tangaroa kind of scares me a little. He's powerful. I mean, and especially, you know, particularly in Marple's Beach, it's so rough there. I think I always had this awangawanga about the deep ocean, you know, the deep water and the wide ocean.
Steven Spielberg's Jaws did not help. Honestly, I went from being like a kid that would jump off any wharf or boat to like a 2 year period where I couldn't get in deep water because of Jaws. Oh, Steven Spielberg, you owe me.
I can't say that I've honestly found Jaws hilarious, but I think I was too old when I watched it, like I wasn't a kid, so.
And what is the kaitiakitanga of the moana and Wai Māori look like in sort of your respective areas where you are living at the moment? Or rather, Ngāi Tahu for you, Merianna, and down on the coast for you, Te Kuru, like, is there sort of an active presence of iwi Māori on the land, making sure that people aren't being extractive, aren't taking more than their quota, are looking after water quality? Like, do you know sort of what protection is going on in your lands?
Yeah, so, I mean, up the coast in Ngāti Porou territory, where it's much more isolated, and you kind of have to go through small, you know, villages to get to the takutai, it's probably easier to monitor for haukaina who's going in and out, and there's often rahui placed, you know, especially around Tauhou Pākehā or Krihimete around Christmas and the Pākehā New Year, always rahui, because that's the time where people are, you know, often off work and they might travel home or travel to someone else's territory and sort of just over-harvest kai moana. So it's quite common. I mean, there are always people who won't adhere to the rahui that are being placed on, but I think generally it's pretty good, but there are always some, you know, some bloody wasters who won't follow the rules. I've got a cousin who works for MPI, so him and an uncle, they're the East Coast, part of the East Coast MPI team. They sort of cruise up and down the coast on their boat, checking on people. They've busted a black market of kai moana and trade, which I did a story on for Māori TV a few years ago. They were selling koto as far as the Waikato, you know, chest full of, and a lot of it undersized as well, or, you know, and that's a whole nother kōrero, but about size limits and things like that. But so, yeah, there are different levels of protections, if you like. I think generally most people, I like to think, might be idealistic, that most people down here understand, you know, what it means to be sustainable, or what sustainable harvest is. And if you take too much, you know, you're not only ruining it for everyone else, but you kind of not doing yourself any favors for the future. And then, and I guess the third level of protection or management is there are appointed kaitiaki for iwi, and they have the mana to give permits for customary take, and that's a whole nother kettle of fish as well, because in some areas it's managed really well, where the kaitiaki, appointed kaitiaki, are familiar with their rohe or with their rohe moana, and they know who's diving and they know who's coming in and out, and they are probably divers themselves. And then there are other areas where those appointed kaitiaki or iwi liaisons who are administering those permits are not familiar with the areas. So there's a lot of work to be done in that because they do manage a lot of quota for the area. So, yeah, and then there's the commercial fishers as well. You know, I mean, there's a story of my koro back in the day who took a shot at a commercial fisher that got too close to our patch, literally.
What do you mean, so, took a shot? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, maybe won't get into the details. That means exactly what, you know, how it sounds.
Just a warning shot.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of friction, but there's plenty of coastline, but it is getting a lot more crowded these days, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can't say I know a lot, probably because I haven't lived at home for, you know, back on my whenua for about 7 years now, 7-8 years. So I don't know a lot about how quotas managed and whether people are following the rules. I mean, as I've said, you know, it's been, you haven't been able to go pole diving for years now. But what that's actually done, and I did a story about this, not the summer, just being the one before, about how it was pushing all of the recreational pole divers further north into Port Underwood, which is near Wairoa, Blenheim. So that was having an impact on the stocks there. So I guess that connects to what you're saying, Te Kura. I mean, there's this issue with the boundaries, right, and ensuring, you know, how do you, well, you stay in your patch, I stay in my patch. How do you enforce that? And I guess that's where that having someone local who's really knowledgeable helps. But it's that tricky thing. Are you, you're never going to be able to stop the cheeky ones coming, grabbing more than they're supposed to. You know, you've just got to trust that people respect the moana, respect the kai moana. And Aaron, I guess as well, it helps if people are from the area. So they're invested in being able to come back. I think it's those drop-ins, say, the holiday divers who...
Yeah.
You know, they don't have that relationship because they don't live there, so they're probably less, I mean, I'm speculating a bit now, but less invested.
No, you're right. There's definitely a lot of people that'll come down the coast from other areas just to get kai moana. And they might not even be, you know, like this idealistic view that I have of everyone having this loving relationship with the moana. They might simply have a relationship with kina.
Yeah.
and they're not thinking sustainably. And unfortunately, because of colonization or whatever you want to blame it on, a lot of our whānau Māori are like that as well. So it's not just, you know, tauiwi who are doing it. And I guess another point when you're talking about take and limits and things like that is Dion, who I interviewed, gave a good kōrero. He sort of said, so his father was a commercial diver, and so that's how he kind of learnt growing up, and then he's a commercial free diver and also does these courses, so he can only take what he can get while he's holding his breath. That's how he describes it. And he said, oh, I might just drop a few kina off. I'll never get 50, because 50 kina per person, that's the limit. It's a lot.
Per person?
If you go out on a boat, if you go out on a boat with four people, I think you're supposed to have four people in the water, but, you know, people don't do that. They'll chuck on extra people on the boat just to get another 50. So he says, oh, I don't get 50 because that's more than I need to feed my whānau, my small whānau. I'll drop off some kina to the old man, he says, and the old man will go, oh, is that it? Like, well, I know you could have got some more. And he'll say, no, that's all you need for the week. Like, you know, I'll bring you some more next week or later on. So it's just changing our mindset, I think, because a lot of people probably, and that's usually the people who aren't living, you know, going into the moana weekly or, you know, regularly, then they take as much as they can while they're there. So there's a lot of mahi for us to try and decolonize our relationship with the moana and get back to that sustainable way of living and management, taking that responsibility that our tipuna would have had.
True, because there's so much pride in that idea of I will provide for you a feast for, you know, my manuhiri or my whānau or whoever. I will rise up out of the ocean with more kōrā and kina than you have ever seen. And that's, you know, how I will manaaki you. But, you make a great point about, you know, just taking what you need to eat.
While we're talking about moana and kai moana, what are your guys' favourite delicacies?
I mean, I will eat all of a kōrā from top to tail and suck on those legs until it loses its colour.
Yeah.
But my, like, most controversial kai moana take is I love kinda, like, cooked in cream and, like, fettuccine.
It's so bougie.
I love it fresh. Don't get me wrong. But I just think it's so yum with, like, garlic and cream and pasta. It's too bougie.
Do you drink the poha from the kina?
Yeah.
What about you, Mariana?
Oh, well, it's got to be Koda. Ko tōku tēnō kai moana.
Same.
I actually had, last summer, a whānau friend made Koda dip. And when they first put it in front of me, I was like, oh, you can't do that. Like, you can't waste good crayfish in a dip. It was phenomenal. It was really good. So I want to try and make that. But yeah, got to be Koda. I'm the same with you, Leonie. Like, I'll suck on the legs. I will just like pull every morsel of like flesh out of it. So good. All you need is a little bit of cracked pepper, bit of lemon. Mwah, beautiful.
I love it. All right.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, Koda's it for me, eh? Pawa, so-so. What about you, Kudu?
I can't understand that. Pawa, so-so. Pawa to me is the creme de la creme. You know, it is the... It is the most, for me, the most sought after, and if it was back in the day, the most fought after, I reckon.
True.
Kai moana. And I like so it with, good. Yeah, I like it thinly sliced in a pan with a little bit of garlic and a bit of butter, and yeah, just like that, it's good.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
I think because we always had power patties, and like, I reckon like the way you've, like steaks, like little steaks, yeah. They would be yum.
Like those rubbery power patties that you get at the takeaways. Like, oh yeah, power fritter, like, oh.
I think just growing up inland and just not having power, it's just this, you know, this wonderful world of flavour that you never really engaged with, only on the one-offs. So
I love how your eyes are sparkling while you're talking about power. It's delightful.
I'm getting excited for summer.
Yeah. See, I was spoiled, so I just had it all the time. Here I am, like, it's okay.
That's enough. Yeah. Should we move on, eh? No.
This conversation has made me so hungry.
Yeah, hard. I can't understand, firstly, because I don't like kina. So I'm like, what do you need 50 kina for? But also, like, what, do you freeze them? You can't eat 50 kina. Would someone eat that in a week, you know? Because it'd get gross, and I wouldn't want to have frozen kina. I need to know more.
The longer they sit, the nicer they get, eh? So.
True.
I could eat 20, I reckon.
You could.
Yeah.
There's two types of Māori, eh? There's Māori who love kina, and yet it's divisive. I reckon you either love it or you hate it. Right. There's no one who's like, oh, kina's all right.
Yeah.
It's like anything really though, and I'll get some haters for making these comments, but you know, it's a bit of gluttony. Like, there's no individual that needs to sit and eat 50 kina mm-hmm. in a day. But we do it because we can or whatever, but providing for a marae event or a tangihanga or, you know, dare I say it, a birthday, those are different events. Mm. But I still feel like there's a little bit of overkill sometimes and we just need to be a bit more mindful of. I mean, sometimes it's if the kina are overpopulating an area, then it's all good. Mm. It's all good to take. And you can see if there's a lot of kina in the area, then by all means, I think a lot of divers will understand it's all good because it's replenishing there. And Dion talked about he dives in, you know, he dives deeper areas because he knows that that's sustainable, whereas a lot of other people are in the more shallow, you know, the rock pools and the 5 to 10 meter areas. So he goes a little bit deeper because he knows that that's going to be sustainable for that area.
Mm.
Kia ora.
Makes sense.
This is all something for us to keep in mind as we head into the holiday period. Take care of the moana, take care of the kai moana, take only what you need. If it's not your rohe, ask permission. Do not take undersized kai moana and certainly do not sell it on a black market.
Carl.
That is all we've got time for this week. Thank you to my co-host Tikuru and Mariana. Thank you to our guest Ranira, to our producer Te Aiheb, kia ora e hoa, and you will hear us again in 2 weeks time. We're coming at you fortnightly, so in the meantime, check out our weekly Nair features written by Tikuru that are featuring on spinoff.co.nz. Follow us on Instagram at Nair Te Ao Māori Podcast, and we'll see you soon. Hei a kōnei.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air and brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network. It was hosted and researched by Leonie Hayden, with Te Kuru Jews and Mariana Johnson. Nair was produced by Te Aihe Butler, with senior production from Jane Yee and project management from Mark Kelleher.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.